This is Twit.
Already, we hadn't even started, and people are complaining about all the Apple coverage we've been doing.
Yeah, but you know what I have to say to that?
What?
We don't deal with terrorists. We're going to talk about the M1 chip.
I think we can make a case that this is a watershed moment in desktop computing.
We can make that case.
That's not unfair.
By the way, it is. Or it will be, probably. We'll see next week. I mean, I think the big issue with what just happened is we've been waiting since June for all these answers.
Right.
And now we know what the first computers are, and that's neat. But we actually don't have any answers at all to any of the most pertinent problems.
They didn't even mention clock speed very aptly.
Nothing. It was a masterclass in an overwhelming amount of data that amounted to nothing.
Yeah. It all sounded good.
You know what it reminded me of? Microsoft earnings, where they say Azure's up 15 times of blah, blah, blah. Right. It's like, yep, 15 times of what?
Yeah.
I love the performance over what?
I love the graphs with no numbers, just lines and bars, but no numbers.
It's a graph.
Well, you know why? They used their numbers program, and it doesn't have that capability.
It doesn't have numbers in it. Very good, though, article this morning in AnandTech where they, it's interesting how much, because they're chip guys, they can look at the few bits and pieces, including one picture of the silkscreen, and kind of deduce a lot from it. And we'll see. I'll have one in a week or two. But it does sound like that at least the people who are saying, ARM, it can't possibly be performant.
That's nonsense.
That's probably not the case.
Listen, we got to kind of level set here, because we can talk benchmark scores, right? Which kind of don't mean anything, frankly.
And we don't have any yet. So
the important thing here is, well, the two things. It's the same thing that's important on the Windows side. It's performance and compatibility. And those both take on a bunch of different things, because performance is, native performance. Performance of emulated x86 apps, which is going to be most apps in the beginning.
Right.
And performance of iPad apps, which I think has got a big deal for this transition. And then compatibility, obviously application compatibility, but also they never mentioned the word driver, not even once. One of the big kind of hidden problems with moving Windows to ARM is that not one of the drivers out there in the world that works on x86, on the Intel-type platform, works on ARM. And Apple hasn't address that. Now,
Apple makes all the hardware. So
they don't make all the third-party hardware.
No,
so if you're
absent
with
hardware,
a printer or a scanner or, how does that work? I mean, they haven't said.
What did they say about how apps work in emulation? Did they give any details of that at all?
No.
Nothing.
No. Although the few things we've heard are that things like, What example do they give? Lightroom or work as they're as fast in Rosetta 2, their emulator, as they are on the old Intel platform. So, and I think that may be the case. There's going to be significant speed improvement from the M1. For instance, it has a unified memory architecture. Memory is on the die, which means that's what the gaming machines have been doing. That's what Xbox has done since the first days. And so, it makes a big difference in speed.
If you go back a couple of months, there were rumors that kind of went up and down about which products would come first. And one of the big rumors, which didn't come true exactly, was the first ARM-based Mac was going to be an old school, like the MacBook, the small one, the fanless one, that they don't make anymore. And that would indicate that this thing is like a low-end device, and maybe we shouldn't expect the levels.
Yeah, they avoided that, interestingly. Yeah,
they did and they didn't, because if you think about the machines they did announce, they are all the low-end versions of everything, right? So the MacBook Air is the Y series processor. Now that's an ARM device, and then the MacBook Pro 13-inch and the Mac Mini, both are examples of devices that span like a huge range of performance and capabilities. And the versions that are going to M1 are the low-end versions, right? So on the MacBook Pro, that means the two-port version for the Thunderbolt ports. And on the Mac Mini, it means it only, and actually on all these machines, it only goes up 16 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, and 16 gigs of RAM. But so we just don't know in that environment what 16 gigs means.
I know.
You can't compare it.
How do you walk away from this event not knowing things?
Because they're not going to say, well, They don't even ever give you a RAM figure for the iPhone. The fact that they mentioned RAM is amazing.
Let's go back in time for a second, because remember, and of course, they brought out the Mac guy, right, from the old ads, John Hodgman.
Which I loved.
Back in the day, when the PowerPC was a running concern and Apple was desperate to show that it was better than Intel, they would put two machines next to each other, and they would have Photoshop run some, you know, macro or whatever. And the Mac version would always come out first, always, right? And they would obviously highlight the things where your platform's better than the other platform. And at the time, I would have and did describe a lot of that stuff as chicanery. It was nonsense. You know, Intel at that time was better at integer math. PowerPC was better at, you know, different kinds of things, whatever. But they didn't even do that. They just, it was like, you know, flashy, you know, graphic, shoot down the hall, 6X. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
who is the audience, though? Who is the audience for this thing supposed to be, right? Tech journalists, obviously, but who else?
Well, at this point, developers and then anybody who's really interested in Macintosh computers is concerned because we're seeing a platform shift. And so, you know, the concern I hear from a lot of people is, you don't want the first one of these. Who knows what it's going to be like? There are real concerns, legitimate concerns about compatibility with existing third-party software.
Which they never addressed.
They sort of addressed. They said Lightroom will be available this year.
They said Lightroom and then next year. These other six other apps no one's ever heard of.
Mac users have heard of the ones they mentioned. Those are all the developers they showcased were all Mac's developer celebrities, like Cable Sasser from Panic. Their guys have been on the Mac platform for a long time, know. The Omni Group people.
Those are still not volume unit sales of apps.
They didn't have Microsoft on stage.
Not mentioned once.
Yeah.
Now, and that's what I find fascinating, because there could have been a very real world example where they said, look, here's Microsoft Excel or Microsoft Word or whatever. It comes up. It's just blah, blah, blah. It works. It's just as fast or whatever percentage is fast. Mm-hmm. And this isn't even ported over. Now, here's the M1 version, and oh my God, it's amazing. Like, it is it goes so fast, there's not even a splash screen. Nothing.
Mm. Well, that's going to come out later. This was a 45-minute presentation.
Right.
They announced three new computers and a new processor architecture in 45 minutes. There will be a lot more information to come,
I saw some people in the Microsoft world speculating, what if they show cloud PC running on a Mac and Microsoft apps? And I'm like, you know what? They're not going to waste cloud PC on an Apple event, but at some point that demo could happen, right? Showing how on a Mac you could run virtually your Microsoft apps.
That would run on a Chromebook, so.
Yeah.
It should, The trick to – look, Apple's done this before. We've talked about that. I mean, they've done this process of transition. I mean, the trick is to run old software well, which is hard, and to provide developers an upgrade path so that they can make their existing apps better without a lot of work, you know?
Yeah.
And the silence from the Microsoft side to me is a little interesting because, you know, they've been busy porting or trying to port Office in particular, Edge, whatever – to this new platform.
They mentioned that at WWDC, and the Microsoft was at WWDC, so the developer conference.
Which makes their absence at this thing all the more notable, you know? They're not ready. It's not ready.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
The fantasy story is, if you're an app developer, you get a new version of Xcode, it supports these new universal apps, you check a box, probably don't even have to check the box, it's probably check for you, and you're creating a universal app now, and it will run on both Intel or Apple Silicon. And that's not how it really works, right? Because the truth is, you have to then go in, there's problems, and you have to go fix them, and there's some degree of difficulty. And we'd like to pretend it's a simple flick of a switch, but it's not. And if you make something complicated, and you know, Adobe Lightroom is a good example of something complicated, Photoshop, and obviously Office, there's a lot more work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Bring an iPad app running on the Mac, simple, comparatively speaking.
The good news is we're going to see, you know how the enthusiasts are with this stuff. We're going to see benchmarks. We're going to see all of this stuff in a week. It's coming out. It's people have ordered
it. Hoping is coming people Friday. Review who got these things for review and before then, right?
They will. Sometime early next I think a week from now we'll start seeing those reviews.
Yeah, I would hope so. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the first time. That's going to be the. I thought we were going to have this moment yesterday, but it's going to be next Tuesday, let's say. You know,
this is an advertisement. I mean, the Apple doesn't need to go crazy with specs and speeds and feeds. That's not Apple.
No, you want to drag it out too, right? Like the PR cycle, you want it to just keep going and going and going.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But you know what? It is an advertisement, and that's a good point. But the way you advertise this is we're giving you a box that is literally identical to the previous box. We have not changed a thing. We've swapped out something inside of it. That's basically it. It's completely incompatible mm-hmm. with the mm-hmm. thing you're using now, but we're going to make it work. It seems to me the advertising involves better battery life, acceptable, equal, or better performance wherever it falls. Pricing, maybe they basically held the line on price. I think the Mac Mini might be a little cheaper. And then you got to talk. Isn't it really about compatibility? That isn't mm-hmm. instead of talking about processor cores and neural engine, they said the phrase ML 150 times in this presentation. But
I'm not sure who that was for.
Are waiting on ML processing.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that was for because I'm not. That doesn't. It's nice that you have 8 cores devoted to machine learning, but I don't know how that helps me. Yeah,
right. I thought that was kind of odd. So. Apple is very good at advertising. I felt like they could have done a much better job at advertising mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. this thing really is.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. They basically didn't talk about it at all.
Oh. The proof will be in the pudding. I think that these will come out and we'll see.
I want to see the battery life number. That's the main number I want to see because I believe they're going to actually have it. Right. And Microsoft doesn't have it.
Apple's pretty good about their battery estimates, opinion, compared to other manufacturers. Right.
So, by the way, Apple's just in reviewing laptops, I can say Apple is one of the few companies where they say this thing gets 12 hours of battery life or whatever the figure is. It does.
So they're claiming 20 hours for the MacBook Pro.
Except they're not. But they're not. See, they're claiming 20 hours for the MacBook Air in video playback. That's the nonsense figure that PC makers use.
Okay.
That's not battery life.
It's actually the same. It's comparable to the numbers they give out for the iPhone and the iPad. So I think they're just making that unified across the board.
Yeah.
But I do think, look, this is... Clearly, the goal of this is to deliver a low power chip that can beat Intel, and that's not hard to do these days, give you all day battery life and significant improvements in performance. And I think that's not going to be a question. Compatibility, the point you raise, is the only remaining big question. We'll see numbers soon enough.
It's the remaining question for the first gen. Remember that the other stuff that's not happening here is. God knows how they got Thunderbolt going. That's an Intel thing, but okay, fine. 16 gigs of RAM is a ceiling.
No. First of all, it's USB 4, which means...
Oh, so they called it.
Yeah, so it is Thunderbolt 3 downward compatible. And, Apple is a developer of that as well. That doesn't require Intel.
Okay. That's just a minor point I was trying to slide by. But 16 gigs of RAM is the ceiling. No dedicated GPU, no external GPU, no more than one external display. This is a product line that today, and I know obviously they're working on more stuff, doesn't address the needs of Apple's Pro customers, right? This is all entry level stuff. So if you're a MacBook Pro customer, typical one, if you need more RAM, if you need dedicated graphics, if you are a Photoshop or a videographer or a gamer, not that you'd be a gamer on the Mac or whatever, these machines are not for you. I mean, these machines are for college students, they're for normal users. And then tech enthusiasts who are just really curious, to see what's going on here.
I don't know.
Like the Ultrabook. The Ultrabook market, right? Like there are people who care about battery life and actual weight of the machine and
the Air is going to be potentially the best Ultrabook you can buy. The MacBook Pro is probably not pro in some respects, but it's comparable to the current 13-inch MacBook Pro. That's the one I ordered.
Only the entry-level version.
You can get more RAM, I guess. But...
Processors.
What better processors? It's not clear what better processors. You're saying Intel processors?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's not clear yet.
It will happen over time, right? I mean, this is just...
I don't know that you're getting better processors. I think it's very possible the M1, especially given that Apple's doing the operating system level and a lot of the apps, might be
This thing is not going to perform better than a multi-core i7 It just isn't. We can't pretend that this is just happening.
I don't know if that's true, Paul. I think you might be wrong on that.
All right. We're going to see.
We'll see. Mm. For a good reason, is that the i7's heat throttled almost always in laptops.
Yeah.
So it's bursting up to its top clock
speed.
Well,
by the way, even the MacBook Pro with the M1 has active cooling with a fan, right? I mean, yeah. They're pushing those things too. The other thing is, you know, not that MacBook motherboards are particularly big. They're not. They're actually they're small little things. But theoretically, these things require less power. Not theoretically, literally less power, fewer thermals, whatever. There should be more room in these cases, right? So, you know, sometime down the road that we're going to see like new generation form factors as well. But they're sticking with literally the exact same form factors, which is fine. But doesn't that, it seems to me like that leaves more room for battery.
Yeah, you should see the difference in the logic board
from
the new to the old. The new is the size of an SO DIM. Almost everything's in that system on the chip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you could put more battery in there.
You could.
They did. You know, who knows? I don't know.
All of that will be revealed in a week.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the big mistake, and we'll see, but my guess is the big mistake is to treat it like a PC and say, and compare it apples to apples on a PC. Like, well, the clock speeds are lower, the RAM is lower, you know. I don't know if that's going to be a fair comparison. I think you have a whole new platform.
No, this is about launching Word and a browser and Photoshop and then using it and not having lag and whatever. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
Job one is just actually making that happen. That's the compatibility angle. And then job two is making it happen fast.
Let's not forget, though, Apple has its own office suite. And so I don't know how incented they are. I mean, I think they realize that you've got to make Office work.
Well, Microsoft's the one who should care about that, right? They don't want to be left behind. So obviously they're working on that. But I think these apps, you know, they're kind of big and complicated.
That's the unknown. That's a big unknown, which is how hard is it to make an Intel app work on the M1?
Yeah.
That's really a big unknown. Apple keeps saying, oh, no, it's easy, easy, easy. We shall see. It may well be that it's more iOS apps get moved to Mac
but,
OS.
You know, by the way, even that process has proven more difficult to developers than Apple kind of promised, you know, at a year ago's WWDC, or maybe it was 2 years ago, whenever that was. You know, that's not a checkbox either, right? I mean, once you move a mobile app, which is touch first and all that stuff, to a desktop platform, you don't have to, but you should take into account the different types of ways that users will interface with the app, and it should maybe adapt to look more like a traditional Mac app or whatever. There's issues there too, but I mean, all we can do is speculate, and that stinks because I was hoping to come away with something definitive.
Well,
this is
it's faster than 98% of PC laptops.
Yes, no, look, asterisks.
right.
With that's
this is which better ones? Than best-selling PC in this category. By the way, this PC is in a category all by itself.
Yeah,
it is.
You know, yeah, I don't know.